You're listening to Am I the Bullcast, the only Magic the Gathering podcast you're listening to at this very moment. I'm your host, Mike Carrozza. With me, as always, my co-host, Morgan Sanchez. Hi, Morgan.
What's up, Mike? It's Tuesday, and I'm going to Vegas in two sleeps until the Tiki Bar experience I have been promised by my dear friend and co-worker, Andy Zupke, the content manager of EDH Rec. We're going to party hard at the Golden Tiki. We're going to get a poo-poo platter and a fun, fruity concoction.
So this comes out the Tuesday after Vegas, and that means this has already happened, and I'm so happy for
and
you.
And I didn't even know it yet.
Yeah,
it was so good. Know. I forgot
so
that it happened.
You had no
that
idea.
That poo-poo platter took me out.
Poo-poo platter in the stomach, putting pressure on the bladder because I ate so much.
Yeah.
Gang, it's time for another mailbag episode. No interview today. People seem to like the mailbag episode thing, so we're going to keep doing it anytime we can and put it in the off week and let it ride. So thank you for the feedback. Thank you so much. We're going to do another one. This edition of the mailbag is actually going to be for, and I promise it's not always going to be another submission that I used for an article, but this one is, and this one came out last week or tomorrow for when we're recording. And it's one that I liked because it gets me to discuss one of my biggest pet peeves, which I realize is not something that comes up often on my own podcast about pet peeves and magic. So look at that, a little bit of a fun thing. I do want to shout out our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Cardsphere.com. There's a referral link in the description. Please use that to sign up and use Cardsphere. Cardsphere, get your cards here. Last episode, I talked about ordering cards on Cardsphere, and today I got them. So they came in the mail, and I was not ready for... Like, I've seen old foils before. Like, I know what they look like. All right. I've seen these bad boys out in the wild. I have a few of my own. I've seen Prophecy Invasion foils. Yeah, no problem. But something about getting them, open them up, and just being like, whoa, okay.
Crispy.
Wow. Good for me. I was so stoked. They are beautiful. The color is so good.
That's how I feel every time I look at or buy an old foil. Is like, go me, like, go team. Like, we're so much better and gooder than the average person, like, who just doesn't appreciate, like, every
who cares?
One and their mom.
Everyone and their mom. Whatever. No. Nah, love a foil. Give me an old foil. It got me thinking, like, because I got that cartographer on Cardsphere a while back in foil, that the Donato Giancola version, not the OG. But man, it just something about it. They nailed it back then. And I have to say card quality's gone down. The foiling is just not as fun because the border isn't as rich with that color. Doesn't pop. The art does a lot more. The selective foiling on the art is amazing. But anyway, it's just there's something about it. Like I had Greel in my hand and I was like, man, this looks sick.
A little ghouly.
But Empress Galena, ooh, girl, that blue is shiny. That blue is beautiful. Makes me so happy.
Deep and rich.
Oh, yeah.
Direct from the ocean.
I also picked up a Psychic Frog in foil because I figured maybe I'm going to build the thing with the frog. Who knows? It's cheaper now than it used to be. I'll pick one up just to round out my cart so I can get the ship in, no problem, take care of it. And it came in, dog, it looks so sick, so excited, so happy about it. And shout out to Cardsphere, doing a lot more looking on Cardsphere, a little bit of window shopping, you know, having fun while I'm sick like a friggin' dog still. This cold is kicking my ass. It's really bad. So please help us out by going to cardsphere.com. with the referral link. Excuse me. God, mentioned the cold and now it's all out.
Now you know it's real. It wasn't just a spiel for the sponsor read. Like this guy's actually dying and we had to throw him on the mic here.
Yeah, I'm f***ed up. Sorry, Ken. It's bad. It has been so far, it has been 5 days, two of which I could not breathe through my nose, no matter what I tried. And buddy, I tried so many different things. Could not get anything to work. So I've been a mouth breather for a little bit and it sucks. I hate it. I've drunk so much water in the last, don't even get me started. I am hydrated. I'm fueled. And yet I can't do nothing about it. This body take it too long to recover. So excuse me if I'm coughing all over this episode. I did want to talk about this submission today. Also shout out to Bonebox Games, boneboxgames.com. Use our promo code Bullcast for a little discount, a little something, something off the top. And I wanted to also take the time to say that, like, yo, it's not too late to go to dogsconsin.com to kickstart Dan Sheehan and his wife, Julia. They made a card game called Who's a Good Boy, the game where dogs can sin, and your dogs, you play as a dog and you get to like decide whether or not you want to be a good boy or a bad boy, and you do all this stuff. So it's pretty sick, pretty sick. I can't wait to play it. Dan showed me a couple of things from it, and it looks great. Honestly, it's so funny and so cute. Julia does an amazing job with the art. And they have like a perk that you can buy into with Kickstarter. Like if you buy the game, you could also commission Julia to do a portrait of your dog. I don't know if it's only for dogs or if cats are invited to the party too, but it is a dog game. So I'm assuming they're intentionally just going to say dog, but you could probably get in there with a kitty cat and I don't think anybody's going to be mad at it. Either way, I thought that was a fun little perk. I thought that was real sweet. So dogsconsin.com, go back that Kickstarter. I already have, a lot of friends have. I'm really excited about it. Can't wait to get my hands on it. Morgan, do you think it's time? Shall we? We do it?
Open the box. Open the bag.
Open the bag. Here it comes. I'm not going to read out what cards do unless it's necessary. All right? So in this submission, I believe there's only one card that requires any information. And I'll just read that one out. But for now, there's going to be some card names coming at you. I won't read them. There's so many card names, but they're not germane to the story. It's just kind of texture. And on the website, it works a lot better on EDHREC because you could hover or tap on the name of the card and then you'll get the card right there. But not when you're listening, baby. And that's, you know what? I'm making the case for you to go read the article. Okay. But here we go. I'm going to read out this mailbag submission that comes from us from number one Mossbridge troll fan. So shout out to them. All right. Hi, Mike. I'm curious whether I'm the antagonist here for really not liking my fellow player and not calling him out on his misplays. So I'm at my LGS, my local game store, a few days ago, and I sit down to join a pod. The guy across from me is playing Gearson Star and Kellermorph. The person next to me is playing Mirko, Obsessive Theorist, and the last guy is playing Ganax, Astral Hunter, and Acolyte of Bahamut. The Mirko guy immediately starts getting salty at me because I am running Jin Gitaxis, Progress Tyrant. Now, I probably did deserve a little hate for playing Jin, but I really like his copy ability, and while I wish he didn't have the counterspell clause, he does, and he is sadly a pretty salty card. I'm going to read out what Jin Gitaxis is. Jin Gitaxis is a 7 mana. So 7 mana for 5 blue-blue for 5/5 Phyrexian Praetor. Whenever you cast an artifact, instant, or sorcery spell, copy that spell. You may choose new targets for the copy. This ability triggers only once each turn. And whenever an opponent casts an artifact, instant, or sorcery spell, counter that spell. This ability triggers only once each turn. So this is what makes the opponent salty for sure. Now, to let you know, we're going to talk about this player as if it's Mirko. Mirko is Obsessive Theorist. Mirko, Obsessive Theorist, is 1 in a Dimir for a Vampire Detective, Flying Vigilance, 1/3. Whenever you surveil, put a +1/+1 counter on Mirko. And at the beginning of your end step, you may return a target creature with power less than Mirko's from your graveyard to the battlefield with a finality counter on it. This is the face commander for the Dimir deck in the Murders of Karlov Manor Commander deck. So this is just important for the texture of it. Jin Gitaxis is tilting to the Mirko player, and you'll need to know what Mirko does for later in the story. Anyway, the Mirko player starts being rude to me, aggressively reminding me about mulligan rules checking to see if I'm tapping my mana correctly, and telling me to stop talking because he, quote, needs to think. Morgan's face is incredible right now, wincing at that last thing. Beyond this, the Mirko player also didn't seem to understand how his commander worked, putting counters on him equal to surveil value rather than whenever he surveils. So Mirko says, whenever you surveil, put a plus one counter on Mirko, not whenever you surveil, put that many counters on Mirko, which is an important distinction. When I tried to tell him that that isn't how Mirko works, he starts arguing with me and I drop the subject, not calling a judge because I don't want to antagonize him more. Eventually, Jin gets removed by the Mirko players, imprisoned in the moon, which I only realized later he cast on his opponent's turn, even though it doesn't have flash. I end up killing Mirko, partly so I don't have to deal with the misplay issue. The Gearson player proceeds to combo off with Niv-Mizzet Perun and Tandem Lookout, winning the game. So that's just an infinite loop because Niv pings when he deals damage and when he draws a card. And whenever you draw a card, you ping to deal damage. It's just infinite loop. It's the curiosity combo all over again. We move on to a second game, and the Mirko player switches to Aneem Pakal, Thousand Moon. The Gearson guy changes over to Captain Nagathrod, and I play Galta and Maverin. Pretty early on, the Nagathrod player gets out Sludge Monster and puts a slime counter on Aneem Pakal, turning her into a vanilla 2/2. The Aneem / Mirko guy rage quits over this and leaves, saying he can't do anything without his commander. My LGS does random seating arrangements on commander nights. However, I'm honestly tempted to ask not to be seated with the Mirko player again. He just made the entire experience very uncomfortable for me, and I don't feel any desire to play Magic with him again. Am I the bolus for being mad at this guy or for not pointing out his misconduct rules-wise? Sincerely frustrated, number one Mossbridge troll fan. Pretty good one. I'm not going to lie. I honestly thought this one was pretty great. Morgan, what are your immediate impressions here?
I am always very confused when people take to the internet to talk about a thing they should have done and don't do it in the moment. Especially if you're thinking about it in the moment, when it comes to stuff like a misplay, I would be hard pressed. And I mean, I'm pretty dense. So, I mean, you could toss a lot of stuff at me and I'm not going to notice what you're doing, but you're putting the wrong counters on something. Then I just say, hey, that's the wrong counter or whatever. You know, you play with the guy who's obviously trying to get one on you every time he does the thing. That's like, oh, sorry about that. Definitely played against those guys too. And they're just kind of watching to see if you're, you know, paying attention.
Sure.
But I'm kind of like feeling a bit bolusy. If you don't bring up your discomfort, you don't bring up your disinclination to continue playing with this person. I mean, I think there's a way to do it without telling them, hey, I don't want to play with you again. Right. I think you can just not do
well. The way would be to ask the tournament organizer not to pair them up, because the LGS does seating arrangement.
Yeah.
So yeah, not. So that would be the way to do it without being like mean to them. Instance, right. Or,
I think as somebody who has experience as a TO when I was running an LGS, I would not think twice if somebody said, hey, I can't be paired up with this person. You wouldn't even necessarily need to give me a reason why. I would just say, yep, you're right. Maybe just tell me you're uncomfortable. I don't even care. Don't say anything. But the fact of the matter is that it's more work for everybody if you're sitting next to somebody who's miserable and makes you feel miserable and maybe potentially cause a scene, something happens, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you want people to be comfortable. You want things to be good. If you had a bad experience, you had a bad experience. It's not necessarily your fault. But again, like, come down to communication. Should have probably said something. I mean, maybe it would have been helpful, right? Especially if there was salt going both ways here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for me, looking at Mirko and Jinkataxius, my first thoughts are, I ain't reading all that crap. I'm not looking at it. You're going to have to tell me what it does. You're going to have to tell me what it does. So if you're putting the amount of surveillance that you're doing, those counters on Mirko, I wouldn't think twice. I'd be like, you know what? I take your word for it. But if you notice that that's happening and you're maybe not saying anything anyway, and instead getting kind of salty about it, I'm a little confused because, I mean,
so
just that's a gameplay action, right?
Just to reiterate, he did say it. He says, when I tried to tell him that that isn't how Mirko works, he starts arguing with me and I drop the subject. I didn't call a judge because I didn't want to antagonize him more. So there was an attempt. That should be noted.
So then that's even worse to me. I think that if it didn't go through, call the judge. That's what the judge is for. That if you're there getting salty, okay, if someone else is getting salty because, you know, you're not agreeing with them and they're playing against the rules, call a judge. It's the judge's desire and hope, right, and willpower,
right,
to come and say, read the card, look at what that says, what are you doing? It's not the same thing.
I would be hard pressed to
bet this person that, yes, I'm going to call the judge. Like, bring somebody over here and tell me that's what it says.
Mm-hmm. I'm 100% with you. If the thing is, like, I'll say this. One of the pitfalls of, one of the things about this column that you come to notice with all the submissions and by being around Magic players in general, if you look online or see what people are posting online and saying like, oh, this happened and this happened or whatever, I was uncomfortable with this. A lot of the people that Magic attracts aren't necessarily the most socially adept. There are lots of us who are, but some of us aren't great at confrontation, which is a thing that I'm trying to destigmatize, in that it's not always a bad thing to be confrontational. This guy confronting like the, hey, it's, you're playing this wrong. Okay. Yeah. The further confrontation of, I didn't want to call a judge because I didn't want to antagonize him anymore. That's uncomfortable for people. The idea that somebody could be mad at you is a very uncomfortable feeling. And so I understand why they would try and it doesn't work. And they go, well, yeah, I'm so sorry. And so through game actions, they're trying to get rid of them instead. But I do think that it's something you notice with the people writing in, is that they're not always so eager to double down on something that's already hard to do in the first step. Right. So I'll say, I want to applaud the OP here. I want to applaud the number one Moss Bridge troll fan. I want to tell them like, good job for like trying, but I will say, I'm with you, Morgan. That's what the judges are there for. And here's the thing. You're correct. You're absolutely correct. That's not how Miracle works. It's a face commander. And get this, you're at a table with other people. Are other people seeing this and going, yeah, no, that's how it works, or backing you?
Maybe I'm also thinking about it to the extent of, and I'm playing devil's advocate here, right? I promise you I'm not actually this mean, and I can appreciate what OP is doing.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you already are in confrontation mode by telling them that this isn't how that works, please confirm it with the judge that that's not how it works. I second guess myself constantly when it comes to this stuff, even when I'm pretty sure in the same exact scenario. And then I'm like, okay, you know what, bet. Cause like, what do you have to lose when you do this? I don't know, the game that you're playing, that you're trying to win. I hope, I think.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's confrontation already. You're fighting a stranger.
What do you have to lose? You have to lose, like, there's a slight bit of like, you want to be in good standing at your LGS as well. Like, this is clearly a tournament that organizes and pairs people randomly. Like, it's not necessarily a tournament, but it's a commander night, you know? So you want to be like somebody that is welcomed back and stuff. I understand the idea of wanting to be in good graces and stuff, but I agree with you. If you're already pointing it out, okay, they're arguing with you. All right, buddy, sure thing. Argue with me all you want. We have the internet. We have judge chat. There's a judge across the room. Let's ask somebody at the table next to us. How about the other players in the game? Let's get some other opinions going and let's see who's outweighs who, because that is not how the card works. And if somebody's going around, here's, okay, do we get into the pet peeve part of it yet or no? So there are three pet peeves for me in this story, which is why I think it's fascinating and why the article doesn't carry all, like, I can't talk about all my pet peeves in the article because then it'd be like 6,000 words. So instead, I only focused on one in my response, but three pet peeves. First one, other players at the table not piping up when it's time. There's no mention of other players coming to the defense of OP being like, that's not how the card works, or at the very least wanting to get down to a solution and finding out what it really means. Like, there's nobody's, you're all in this game and you're sidelining.
Just taking their turn.
No, thank you. Pet peeve number one. Pet peeve number two is going to be, if you're misplaying your cards, if you're playing your cards and somebody says, that's not how it works, Are you going to get defensive immediately and go, oh, yeah, 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 that's how it works. Don't fight me on this. Or are you going to go, how do you think it works? Please explain to me how it works. And then I will, if I'm correct, show you why it doesn't work. Or I would invite the idea of calling a judge over. Wouldn't it be embarrassing? This guy has a whole deck built around Mirko, obsessive theorist, whose power matters, okay? Because you need to have creatures in your graveyard that are that have a power less than Mirko's power for him to bring them back. And so if you're looking to bring back your 6/6, well, you're going to need to surveil 5 times to get Mirko up to 6. Is it less than? It might be less than.
It's less than. Yeah.
So you need to surveil
power
6
less
times.
Than his power.
Not
to get
fiber. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But like, wouldn't you
see that was our confrontation just then, wasn't it? Because it was like, I gotta say something because he's wrong.
I'm wrong.
I read it in passing. It is less than.
I would reread it for sure. But I'll say this, like, if I'm building a deck around a card and somebody's like, hey, sorry to do this, that's not how the card works. And I go, oh, no. That's how the card works. Instead of engaging with a, hey, hold on a second, what are you telling me? This is pretty embarrassing for me to like not have noticed, but I appreciate you looking out for me in this moment. If you don't mind, would you mind us continuing if it played like that? Because that's how I built my deck. Or I'm sorry, whoops, should we shuffle up and play a different game? I'm going to have to take a different look at this deck now because of this and that. My third pet peeve, and this will come back to all of these because I didn't even give the first one much. The second one we talked a little bit about, but the third one is Mirko Obsessive Theorist is a reanimation deck. And you're complaining about Jyn Gitaxis turning off your artifact and your instants and sorceries. I'm sorry, buddy, but you should have creatures that take care of other creatures in black in a reanimator deck.
Run
Ravenous Chupacabra.
Run more removal problem.
Yeah, well,
in,
like there's
in that, force.
It does feel like that, but it's also like Ravenous Chupacabra, that baby. You know what I mean? Like you can't cast a Noxious Gearhulk, but you could surveil one into the graveyard and then pop it out. You know? Like, hell, you could get this, Morgan. You could cast a Noxious Gearhulk, have it countered, and then reanimate it with your commander's ability. These are things that you could do. Like, I understand that if your surveil is linked to instants and sorceries more, but there's so many cards in that deck that came with it, and then also so many other cards that surveil on permanents that just don't get got by Jyn Gitaxis. So it's like, it is a bit of like a you know, gets removed by Doomblade, it's fine kind of situation, but it is specifically for a reanimator deck. I think getting upset over that is nuts. But the secret third pet peeve for real.
The third.
I forgot that this is the other one. The second game where he pulls out a Neem Pakal and has it sludge monstered and just goes, I scoop. I can't do anything here. You guys are never going to see me. I hate this game. I hate these guys. They pub stop everybody. Rage quitting over having your commander turned off. Yeah, buddy. How about attack with a 2/2?
Been there.
Make a deal somehow. Attack with your 2/2 into something. Get your commander back into the command zone. Like now you have options, but like you're being so selfish. It's so crazy to say it because yes, we're not on teams or anything, but you're being so selfish. Do you hear yourself? Do you hear yourself when you're quitting a game over your commander being turned off like early? Your commander's a 3-drop. You got turned off early. Yeah, sure. That's fine. But your deck doesn't do anything without your commander. Politic, baby. Talk around the table the same way you were talking to people around the table in the first game.
Give some fishes.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, give some fishes. This is somebody who was aggressively reminding about mulligan rules, checking to see if somebody tapped their mana correctly, and then was saying, don't talk to me, I need to think. And then this, yeah, I don't know. I would not think twice about telling the LGS person not to pair me with them. And you know what? I probably would tell them to their face. I would tell this player, yeah, hey, I don't think we should do another game. And I'll tell you that it's because you are unpleasant. You are not, I do not have a good time playing with you. You would say that to them? Yeah, dude. Personally, I have no problem being forthright like that. That's, I have had games at LGSs where somebody sat down, played the game, and we do it the one game, and they go, shall we shuffle up? And I say, I did not have fun playing with you. You were rude and inconsiderate, and the type of deck you played did not match with the power level that we set out as a group at the beginning. I don't want to put it on these guys, and I don't want to say that they would agree, but I would like to say, I'm going to not play another game with you. And then I would let these guys decide whether or not they want to play with you again, or we all move on to a different table. But I've collected my things and I'm going to move on to another pod. Should we see each other again? I don't think it would be the best decision to play against each other again, unless you've made some changes. Have yourself a great night. Enjoy your other games. I'm going to go do the same. And that's it for me. There's this one guy who showed up after we sat down at a table, three of us. My friends and I were down a fourth. We thought, let's go to the LGS and play a game. This guy comes in. He's like, yeah, sure, let's play. We say, hey, this is my buddy Alex. He is not new to the game, but he doesn't really like brew that way. He plays with stuff he's got lying around the house. His favorite sets are from Kamigawa, and he loves the look. Like, he'll see a common from Kamigawa and go, I bet this works good in Feather, and put it in his Feather deck. But really, there's no, it's truly bracket one situation for him. But he doesn't have, like, he has no problem with that. And he doesn't care that I play like bracket three for the most part. My buddy Eric definitely is a bracket two player who plays with the mind of a CDH player. He is very smart, very good at the game. But we find a way to balance each other out, and we play that way. This guy sits down, we explain, like, hey, look, I'm playing a powered down deck to accommodate this guy. Eric's decks are already powered down, but he plays it pretty aggressively and plays really well. So we kind of end up playing against him most of the time. If you have a deck that kind of matches our vibe or is closer to Alex's, that might be a way to go. And this guy goes, I have just a deck, no problem. Pulls out mono red Rionya. Rionya is one of those clone commanders that's like mono red. You know, at the beginning of combat, create X tokens that are copies of another target creature you control, where X is the number of instants of sorcery spells you've cast this turn. They gain haste. You exile them at the beginning of the next end step. Very popular mono red commander. This guy played a, you know, just a massive threat, and then powered it out with ritual after ritual. Like, cast his commander, played like a Soul Ring, Arcane Signet, ritual, big beater, and swung out. And we were like, you know, that puts us down to like 10 life apiece because you wanted to, quote, spread the love. But I have one Signet out on turn two, and Alex has three lands because of Rampant Growth. Do we want to maybe scoop and not play with each other again? Because it feels like I don't want to play with you again. Because you don't understand what we're going for here. And that's kind of like, you know, another article of mine, which came out last week, by the way. Shout out to all the articles that have come out. No, not last week, 2 weeks ago. The Bracket Fun. It's about Rocco Street Chef. If you go to edhrec.com and you find my name, click on my name, you'll see all the articles. But that one's more akin to that one. But I'm just saying, like, I have no problem telling somebody, like, hey, it was not fun. I don't want to play with you again. Find someone that matches your vibe, or find something that's more likely to be up your alley. In this case with the Mirko guy, I wouldn't have trouble telling them that. I would have zero hesitation, even maybe before the game ends, telling the tournament organizer, like, hey, please don't pair me up with this guy again. No trouble there. Like, I don't want to write somebody off, but when there's so many signs of irritation, it's just not happening. If you're being rude to me and then you're defensive about my correcting of your card, like, especially when it comes to me, like, not for nothing. It's not just that I've been playing for a long time, but like, we literally write about this stuff. And if I showed up and I say, hey, I'm a writer for EDH Rex, so my decks are like, I think about this stuff a lot. I put together decks intentionally, a lot of synergy, a lot of, you know, I love Magic. I think about it a lot. I play it a lot. It's a great game. So if you have any questions, rules questions or anything, like, don't, like, please don't be shy. Consider me, like, I'm not a judge per se, but I bet I could probably complete like judge level one or something. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be.
Yeah, that's the first initial conversation. Yeah,
exactly.
Laid out.
My point is, if somebody sitting down is being rude, I would have no problem with this. But my biggest pet peeve is not being receptive to discussing the rules, because even as somebody who, like, not for nothing, even as somebody who knows his decks and knows how things work, I'm going to get some stuff wrong. And it happened, like, literally, I'm so embarrassed about this, by the way. Kibler, if you're listening, which I don't know if you are, what Olivia Gobert Hicks and Brian Kibler were in town very briefly. We played a game at an LGS nearby and hung out for a little bit. It was awesome. So great. And I was playing my new Nirav Crackling Vanguard deck. And I thought I had some interactions that were working fine until Kibler pointed out that one of the things that I was doing was, like, incorrectly sequenced, but still worked. Like, so I announced a thing. I said, I have to do it like this to do this and this so that I can get this. And he says, actually, it doesn't work like that. You can still get it this way, but it's actually these triggers that do this. And to me, that's like, yes, Kibler is a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
So obviously, I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah. No, don't worry about it. But also, you know, I played this deck. I put it together. I've been goldfishing it for like weeks before we hung out. I've intentionally put this together and it does do the thing I want it to do. It's my explanation that was incorrect. If he's talking to me, I'm going to check it out. I'm going to listen. I'm going to be like, yeah, okay, let's talk about the rules and see. And so it wasn't like an immediate acquiescence either. I was kind of like, so the way I did it was, okay, this and this. I see what you're saying. You're absolutely right. I see now why it was wrong. Thank you. Now I have that in my back pocket to explain it the next time I play the game. Or if something doesn't work, I now have an empty slot in my deck, baby. I get to put something that's on the sidelines that I agonized over. It makes it so much easier for me to determine, right? So it's like, it's an exciting thing to be wrong. It's not, it's it, being wrong.
It should be. It should be.
it should be exciting to be wrong.
It should be exciting to be wrong, because it should be exciting to learn stuff, right? Like, I mean, dude. You obviously need to be saying this stuff in the right way to somebody. But I think True. That when somebody's doing it in the right way and, like, genuinely trying to teach you versus, like, one up you and, you know, oh, I know more than you. Right. Like, those are the good moments. Those are the fun moments, because those are the creative moments. You can be like thinking about other stuff of like, OK, well, I'm not really entirely sure about this, too. That's how you make friends in the pod, right? Like,
yeah.
You're all trying to understand what each other's doing. Like, you see whack ass commanders all the time, dude. Like, you know, dude, why not talk about it?
Honestly, here's another example of this happening. It was I just listened to an EDH Recast episode. Shout out to those guys, Joey, Matt, Dana. Thank you for being great. Congratulations on such a long run. May it keep going forever. It's so much fun. I love the challenge the stats section. Obviously. Who doesn't? It's a cornerstone of the podcast. One of the challenge of stats really broke my heart, because when I heard it, I was like, oh my God, you're totally right. It doesn't work. Chainer Nightmare Adept says that you can discard a card to cast a creature from your graveyard, right? So Chainer is an amazing Rakdos commander that I love very much. You may cast a creature spell from your graveyard this turn, activate only once a turn, you discard a card, and that's the ability that you can do. Flayer of the Hatebound is the challenge. So Flayer of the Hatebound says, whenever Flayer of the Hatebound or part. It's a beautiful card and it's so good. Whenever Flayer of the Hatebound or another creature enters the battlefield from your graveyard, that creature deals damage equal to its power to any target. Joey said, I think it was Joey's challenge. He said, this actually doesn't work with Chainer, because Chainer says you cast the creature card from your graveyard. And if you cast it, it goes on the stack. And so Flayer of the Hatebound says, if it enters the battlefield from your graveyard. So if it goes to the stack, it's not entering from the graveyard. And while it looks like intuitively, it looks like it would work, but Flayer of the Hatebound, it does not. And I saw this out in the wild. I saw this combo out in the wild at my LGS. And it was a bummer because he played it. The guy said, okay, I'm going to have a big turn this turn. I'm going to play Flare of the Hatebound. I'm going to cast this thing from my graveyard and it's going to deal damage to that. And I have to be like, hey, unfortunately, that's not how it works in the rules. I actually just heard about this like a month ago. And it doesn't actually work like that. And they said, no, it totally works. It comes from the graveyard. And I explained, it does not work like that. Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. And I said, please, like, take the two cards, how you're getting it. If you reanimated it with a reanimate, it would. But because you're using Chainer's ability to do it, it does not. And they took the time to understand. Like, I explained it. I said, this is how it works. And that was it. They understood. They said, what a bummer. But now I'll be more mindful of it. That's great. This person found out that their commander doesn't work the way they want it to and decided, no, it works. It works. Stop talking. I need to think. Huge pet peeve of mine is if you're not even willing to engage in the conversation about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because then you just keep doing it and everybody hates you and it's just an open secret. Yeah. Like, don't be that person ever.
I have my own story about why this is such a pet peeve for me. And it's a little bonus that you're not going to get in the column. I don't know where I've talked about this before, but I think I might have talked about it on the Howling Salt Mine. It's on this podcast. Maybe it was on this podcast. Who knows? This story is from when I lived in Toronto. I lived in Toronto between 2017 and 2020. And obviously was super huge into Magic. I hadn't even started writing for Commander's Herald yet at the time. I was nowhere in the content creation situation, but I had appeared on Battle of the Brews for Commander's Brew. Those guys had a gameplay channel as well. And we'd done that a couple times. And my roommates knew that I was huge into Magic and I love Magic and I play Magic. I'm a comedian. So I'm up late, all this stuff. And my roommate started a new job at a restaurant and said, hey, the guys in the kitchen, they all play Magic like often after work. And I said, like, you know, they're coming over at some point. Do you want to like play a game with them when they come over? I'll tell them to bring their decks. And I was like, sure. Yeah, do that. No problem. Except my roommate got the day wrong. And it was on the day that I'd like been like, oh, I need the night off. Because I work early in the morning. He was like, I'm sorry. I told him to stay. That's fine. I'm like, I'll play the game since it's fine. I can burn the candle at both ends. This is before I got my sleep apnea machine. So the guys that he brings over are fun dudes. They're a lot of fun. They're great. It's a nice time. I love my roommate, Shane. Shout out, Shane. I love you, buddy. But they've been drinking, and they're sitting at the table, and they're shuffling up, and we're getting ready to play. And I play my most... It's like 2 a.m., and it's... I need to go to bed. I said, guys, I need a quick one. And I pull out at the time I had a Grand Warlord Rata deck, which was a Warp World deck, but there's no way I would be playing Warp World. So it was just like an attacky Gruul deck. And we go to start playing, and turn one, this guy plays a bounce land, taps it for mana, bounces it to his hand, plays an Arcane Signet, and I go,
that's exactly how that works.
Hey, run that by me one more time.
Have it for 2 mana, bounce back to my hand.
I play the land, it enters, it gets tapped. So before I tap, it taps, I tap it for mana, I bounce it back to my hand.
Really?
I say, no, that's not how that works. It enters tapped. It actually is not untapped, so you cannot tap it for mana. And he goes, no, I'm pretty sure this is how it works. Like, I play with these in all my decks. Like, you know, I play with a bunch of people. Like, this is how it works. And I say, as someone who understands the rules completely and like not fully, it's like, you know what I mean? The rules of this completely. I can tell you, unfortunately, that's not how it works. And he said, no, that's how it works. And I was like, that would be exceptionally broken and would not be something that I think Wizards would want to print as a card because it's busted. So I would like it if you played the card correctly, because that's not how it works. And if you don't believe me, we could pull up Gatherer, because the rules for it are on Gatherer. They're available. We could look it up on Scryfall. Maybe they still have the rules there. This is important, because that's just absolutely not how this works. you're playing a Selesnya, whatever the bounce land is called, in a dinosaur deck. I understand that you want to get your dinosaurs out faster, but I have Judge Chat open on my phone right now. Give me the word and I will type it in and I'll get that answer for you. And he said, no, don't. This is how it works. And I said, now you're raising your voice in my home. So the game's over if that continues.
Yep.
So, you know, make no mistake here, buddy. You know what I mean? And then one of his buddies, one of the other guys that plays with him all the time, is like, Shane keeps talking about his roommate like he's an expert in magic. Maybe we listen to this guy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he goes, maybe. Fine. So he plays like a mountain instead, passes the turn. We end up playing the game and, like, you know, it's fine after that point. But I go, that's the end of that for me. Have a good night, guys. I'm going to bed. And then the next morning I told my roommate, I was like, never bring that guy to my home again. Other dudes are fine. That guy can. Sorry, Ken. So, yeah, the people who are so adamant about themselves being correct when it comes to rules, who are not open to consulting Judge Chat, checking with a judge, to even research it online, even a little bit. Huge pet peeve of mine. Cannot stand it.
Yeah.
So
if there's a question, always communicate. That's the gist of it, folks. That's all you need to know. I mean, going back to OP, good job starting the conversation, but finish the conversation too. And I could almost guarantee you that things would not have turned out as bad as they would. Or maybe they did, sure. But
maybe
you
they
get
would've.
To figure it out earlier. That's the benefit to it.
I think that, like, you know, the Mirko player is a real my way or the highway guy. And OP is just trying to get through it and doesn't want to ruffle feathers. You can tell they don't want to ruffle feathers by the fact that they played a second game with this person, you know?
Yeah.
What is it? It's just another night. You know what I mean? So I think that the only feedback I would have is, like, stick to your guns. I know it's easier said than done. So I know, Morgan, you're like very much like finish the conversation. I think that I'm going to be gentler here and say, like, Morgan's right. Work on it. You know what I mean? You're not the bolus. This isn't like, is this guy the bolus? So I'm not going to go ahead and be like, Mirko's the bolus, even though he's like, totally. Yeah, absolutely. But, like, are you the bolus? Are you number one Mossbridge troll fan the bolus? No, you're not. You're not the bolus. Not here. But I'll give this to the Mirko guy. Jingataxis is a stacks piece and it's not officially a game changer, but it might be worth mentioning. You know, it's not necessary, but maybe it's... I'm trying to throw the Mirko guy a bone here of some kind. Maybe something's going on in their life.
And I think that's fair.
Maybe the Mirko guy's got other things going on in his life and he really needed tonight to go off properly, like, to his own liking. But, like, I don't know, man, maybe you take your lumps and you learn and you grow. And it is what it is. We've all had some pretty shitty nights. Sorry, Ken. But, like, taking it out on somebody who's trying to point out a thing that'll only make you understand your own deck better. Come on, grow up a little, you know? So shout out to OP for submitting. Thank you so much for doing that. We're at the end of the mailbag episode. And it's time to shout out another Magic creator. It sucks to do this because his episode came out last week, but I listened to it again and I want to just say, like, Logan, aka Seraph6, at Seraph6 on all platforms, Logan's such a good person. Logan is somebody that I really, really appreciate and I really like. And listening back to it, I was kind of like, yeah, you know what? Like, I think we need more Logans. So if you think of yourself as someone who is as kind and generous with their time and is so sweet and stuff, good on you. Like, if you see yourself in someone like Logan, you're doing something right. I really love the guy. I haven't spent a lot of time with him, but I always look forward to more. And I just want to say, if you haven't listened to last week's episode, get on it. Listen back to the conversation with Logan. And check out what he's doing. He's a mod on a bunch of servers, and he's a very sweet person, fun dude to talk to about Magic. He gets into playing his decks as like a character. It's a lot of fun. I really like Logan, so shout out to Logan. But if anybody out here is like, oh, you shouted him out, but his episode came out last week, I'll give you one more. Shout out to Mr. Bevers. Mr. Bevers always has a fun time on his stream. Chat Chaos Commander is such a, it's a nightmare and a fever dream, and I can't get enough of it. It's like infuriating, but so fun. It's like I'm not a guy who loves pranks, but somehow I tune into this essentially prank show, and I enjoy it every time. So make sure to follow Mr. Bevers on Twitch and check out his stream. It's worth your time. It's a lot of fun. Thanks again for joining us, for listening to this, for checking out another mailbag episode. We love you so, so much. Means a lot. Truly, Beyond. Going weekly has been great. I think that it's really already immediately improved our visibility, which is such a bummer thing to have to address and be like to talk about on the podcast or whatever. But like it is what it is. Like, I want more of you out there. I want more listeners. I want people to be checking us out every week. I want people to be excited that we've got another episode and a great guest on. And I just want to say, like, thank you for tuning in. Thank you so much. So yeah, tell people you like the show, and hopefully that'll help too. Enjoy your day. It's time to scoot it. Find me at Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza on all platforms, at Am I the Bullcast on Blue Sky. Morgan Sanchez, where can people find you?
I'm at Indigo Gentleman on Blue Sky, and then check out EDH Rec articles Monday through Friday every day. Lots of cool deck techs, news, all of it. So come check it out.
That's EDHREC.com. And be sure to check out cardsphere.com as well. Our referral link is in the description. Use promo code BOLCAST whenever you're buying Bonebox Games at boneboxgames.com. Your deck boxes, your play mats, whatever you need. And shout out to Dan Sheehan once more. Dogskinsin.com. You can go back that Kickstarter right now. I think it's time to scoot this day, right, Morgan? We ready to scoot it?
Get her scooted.
It's time to scoot the day. Bye, everybody.